Welcome to Healing Scars with Pastor Burton, the official podcast of Cross Christian Fellowship, Route 66, in the heart of Albuquerque, New Mexico, where Burton is the lead pastor. We're glad you're here.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the sanctuary. It's great to have you with us. This episode is actually a fallback episode. As you recall, over the summer and everything, we were upgrading our technology. We were installing a new computer, some other new stuff. We ran into a bunch of issues because our old one just crashed on us. And for whatever reason, a lot of our stuff, whether it was streaming live and the audio wasn't there, or it just wouldn't go live at all, or a number of other issues, there were a handful of messages that just did not get out there. I've had some time. I'm getting around, so I'm going through and I'm recording them now, just for you, so that you can still hear those messages that everybody else got to hear live there in the sanctuary. And you know, much like the last episode that was released, I might go down some rabbit trails that weren't there before, so you might be getting something new. Because let's face it, this is me, and that's what I do. I'm not the only one. There's lots of pastors out there who do it. I'm going to say I probably learned it from some of the best of them, like Pastor Marcus McLean out there. He's the first one to admit, even when I was going through seminary, that, hey, rabbit trails are going to happen. So with that said, I'm going to hop into this one. As many of you know, over the summer, I went on a missions trip to Cherokee, North Carolina. It was pretty cool. I went out with Pastor Mark and Chaplain Jacob from down south in the Rio communities and everything. And it was really good. We met a lot of great people. More importantly, we were involved in ministering to the community there, talking to people, praying with people. You know, in families, we were giving out clothing to children. We had a little block party. We had free food for everybody, all sorts of stuff, you know, Bibles, various resources, for people to come out, have a good time, be blessed. It was a blessing. It was a blessing for them. It was a blessing for us, and it really reminded me of just how important it is that we support missions and missionaries. So, please, pray. And if you find in your heart to give to these people, please do. If you're not sure of some legit ones or anything, reach out, or hit us up on social media, because there are some out there that are absolutely wonderful. I know the people personally, so I definitely recommend them. So we're going to go from there. Now during this trip, I met a new friend, and right after we all went our different ways, he messaged me with a great question, and it's our topic for today. And that question was, what is spiritual debris? Well, let's start with the definition of debris. Looking it up, it's defined as follows. Debris: scattered pieces of waste or remains. Loose natural material consisting especially of broken pieces of rock. Okay, cool. So that's our definition. How can it present itself spiritually? Well, in a number of ways, really. Isolation, self-doubt, impatience, anxiety, self-sabotage. And these are just a few of the many ways that it can manifest. If we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, so that's 2 Corinthians 3, verses 1 through 3, the word says, do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly you have an epistle of Christ. Clearly you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh. That is, of the heart. Now, just looking at the first part of this really sums it up. Spiritual debris lands in our path with the Lord to take our focus off of Him. It's there to steer us away from Him. It's made of those things that interfere with our relationship with Jesus Christ. Some of our greatest leaders in Scripture have shown the debris in their lives. Look at Moses in Exodus chapter 4. So in Exodus chapter 4, specifically verses 10 through 13, Scripture records, Then Moses said to the Lord, "O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." So the Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say." But he said, "Oh my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send." See, God was trying to send him on a mission. Moses' problem, he's filled with self-doubt and letting his negative thoughts and his negative self-image take a hold of him to the point that he's listening to the world more than he's listening to God. He's actually arguing with God. We see it right here. He's arguing with him. He's like a kid arguing with a parent, right? "It's not fair." He's caught up in his emotions. He's scared. And even though God is counterpunching him at every turn, he just won't go. He's being stubborn. He's hard-headed, like most of us. Every single one of us has been at some point and still are at some things, right? We become stubborn. Why? Because we let the sin of pride into us, and we just won't let go. Sometimes, this is disguised as, "Well, that's just the way we've always done it." It's a failure to adapt is what it is. It's complacency in our lives. We just keep treading water and waiting for the tide to go back out to sea. However, what we don't realize is that when that tide goes back out to sea, it's going to take us with it. So instead of adapting to what's around us, we become spiritually complacent and we stop growing in our relationship with God. "Oh, I'm good. I'm saved." Right? We get to that point where we believe the lie that we're good enough. We stop looking for ways to grow spiritually. Right? Matthew 7, verse 16, the word says, "You will know them by their fruits." When we become spiritually stagnant, we don't produce any fruit. We just don't. Do you know what grows in stagnant water? Mold and parasites. That's it. You can't drink it. Nothing good comes from it. It has to go through a purification process, right? There has to be something there to filter out all this garbage, all this gunk, right? So, you see, God is warning us all. He's warning each and every single one of us. And he's been warning us since the very beginning that we need to change the way that we're living or else. That's why I hate that song, it's real popular out there right now. It's like, "Oh, God says I'm good as I am." No, you're not. It defeats the whole purpose of Jesus having to come for us. He's been saying we have to change from the very, very start. Like I said, he's been warning us from the beginning that we need to change or else. But just like Cain, who killed his brother Abel, we hold on to the grudges and the wrongdoings of our past, right? All that just blah that's inside of us. So we become bitter against God. We become hardened against God. And more debris starts to enter our lives because of it. And it comes in the forms of hatred, jealousy, malice. We buy into that mentality of, "Oh, if it feels good, do it." And we become entitled to believe that God owes us something instead of it being the other way around. That's the problem with prosperity theology. It's that way of thinking that God owes you something. Some people think that they can act like a little brat and just demand things because someone lied to them and said that they can do that and that God will give that to them. No! No, he won't! God will not give you the things that you're not meant to have. God will not give you the things that are not part of his will for you. God will not give you things that will hurt you or condemn you. You know, it's like a parent handing a loaded gun at their kid and telling them, hey, look down the barrel and pull the trigger. And then expect nothing but good things to come from it. I can tell you, nothing good is going to come from pulling that trigger. To think otherwise is just stupid, right? It is absolutely stupid. I don't think I have to even hammer that home. We should all know this at this point. You know, matter of fact, let me demonstrate this another way. Okay. Start off with a few supplies. You're going to go and you're going to get yourself a big container, right? Big bucket. And in this, you're also going to get yourself a cup of oxygen. You're going to get yourself 2 cups of hydrogen. And then you're going to get yourself an electrical current. Now, we have our supplies, right? We got our container, we got our oxygen, we got our hydrogen, we have an electrical current. All of these things in and of themselves, right, completely separate from each other, are good and fine as they are. If they were people, we could say that they could live a good life of serving the Lord and maybe find their way to heaven, right? Next, you take that oxygen and you take that hydrogen and you put them in that container. They're going to commingle a little bit. That's about it. Nothing exciting. Not a big deal, right? However, then you take that electrical current that's been sitting off to the side and you toss that in the container. And what happens? Boom! There's an explosion! There's a big flash! Things get exciting! For a brief moment, it's absolute chaos. It's absolute pandemonium. It's exciting, right? Someone might even end up hurt or dead. And that's us giving into the world. That's us believing the lies. That's us tripping over the debris instead of listening to God and changing our course in life. And it's all fleeting. It's done and just a flash in the pan, right? A brief moment. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, the word says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's a pretty popular verse. We've all heard that, right? Some of us wear it a lot or have it like in our bios or whatever. Matter of fact, one of the rings I'm frequently seen wearing, it's like a little spinner ring and it has a cross on it. And it also has that. It says Philippians 4:13, right? We're all familiar with it, but I digress. So let's take all those same supplies. We got our container. We got our oxygen. We had the hydrogen. We have the electrical charge. And now let's do it carefully with God. With God. As my grandpa Flick would say, there's nothing so important you can't take the time to do it right. So you set the container down and you fill it up with that cup of oxygen and you fill it a little bit more with those 2 cups of hydrogen and then carefully, very, very carefully, the safest way you can, you start to add that electrical current into the mix. What happens this time? All of those elements, they start to mix and they combine to become water. An essential element of life. In various places, the word talks about living water. It especially stands out when we look at the book of John, chapter 4, and learn about the woman at the well. Right? Matter of fact, if we turn to Revelation 21, verse 6, the word says, Revelation 21, 6, he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. Jesus is the living water. Jesus will guide us through life. Now, water can sometimes get a little turbulent. those rapids and those white waters, right? Waterfalls, when we plummet for a moment. However, when we look to Jesus as our navigator in life, when we trust in him as our good shepherd, we know we'll get through that water just fine. We'll be guided through that minefield of debris, and we'll come out the other side very well. We need to trust in the master who walked on water and called out to Peter to join him on it in Matthew 14, verse 31, which says, "And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, 'O you of little faith, why did you doubt?'" That spiritual debris wouldn't have done anything had Peter just listened to Jesus and kept his eyes on Jesus and trusted in Jesus. In the strength of Christ, he would have overcome it all and kept on walking. Stop letting the world, stop letting the enemy trip you up with trivial things. Don't let him add the electrical current to your life that makes things go boom. Instead, trust in Jesus and let him be the charge and the change in your life. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you. We thank you for reminding us how to deal with the debris that comes before us in our lives. We ask for your guidance as we surrender ourselves to you. We ask that you reveal how we take all that you've spoken to us and apply it in our lives so that we don't add chaos to it. Help us, especially in those moments when we can't help ourselves. Let us be a reflection of all that you've done for us and all that you do. Let us be that beacon that points the way to you and your kingdom. Allow us to look to you and follow your lead to overcome that debris in our life and through your strength. Amen. Remember, you are loved and you are blessed. Now go and be the church.
Thank you for joining us at Healing Scars with Pastor Burton. If this message spoke to you, or if you would like to help us reach more people, please like, review, and share our podcast. You can learn more about our ministry or how you can support us at www.thecross66.org. Until next time, take care and God bless.